Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
A lot of times, the minute we get the flu, we're straight to the doctor and we ask the inevitable question, Doc, can I have antibiotics? But as we know, and we've heard over the last few years, medicine's starting to lose their effectiveness and concerns about antibiotic resistance. Great to have Dr. Justin Coleman, Senior Lecturer in Medicine at the Griffith University. Justin, good morning. Do you think for far too many years we've looked towards antibiotics as the magic bullet in making us well for everything from a stubbed toe to the flu?
Oh, good morning, Todd. Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I mean, antibiotics, you know, when they first came out, they were a huge advance in medical science, and it was fantastic. And things people used to, you know, die from or get very sick from suddenly were cured and stopped by this amazing new class of chemicals. But unfortunately, like so many of these things, the enthusiasm kept going and started to actually outstrip how much good they actually did. So I think we tended to, because we had the tool, we started to use it more and more for lots and lots of situations. And it's only in more recent years that we've looked carefully at a lot of those situations and found that, in fact, we weren't doing nearly as much good as we thought we were for lots of them.
Refresh our memory. How long have antibiotics been around?
So before the, I think it was the 1940s, you know, with the development of penicillin and sort of, penicillin itself was slightly before that, but certainly by the Second World War, antibiotics started to be used. And then it's really in the sort of 1950s and 60s, there started to be lots of different types, classes of antibiotics. So they've been around for a while.
They say that the superbugs are coming through, and it's a real concern. We've only got certain levels of antibiotics that can ward it off. It seems in 2016 ridiculous that you can go to hospital with a life-threatening condition. You can be operated on, you can be put back together again, but sadly, in some cases, people lose their life from a secondary infection. They've survived the operation, but it's come in. Do you think doctors are under undue pressure from their patients to write that script, just give me the antibiotics and get out, as opposed to being told, look, it's just going to take a little bit of time to get out of your system?
Yeah, I think that is certainly one of the factors. I mean, doctors would also argue there's lots of other things, including the agricultural industry as well. But certainly as far as medicine's concerned, you know, I think traditionally antibiotics have been used in a lot of places they probably shouldn't have been used. And when you mentioned the flu before, of course, flus are viral infections and don't respond to antibiotics. But even things we know are bacterial infections that should respond to antibiotics seem not to do quite so well, things like middle ear infections in kids. And, logic tells us, look, just keep throwing antibiotics at these things. But in fact, when you look carefully at the studies, they show that, in fact, you're probably not doing the children all that much benefit. And I think there is a lot of pressure to use them. And unfortunately, we are reaching an era now where a lot of antibiotics are starting to reach their use-by date because of antibiotic resistance increasing.
It's kind of scary that antibiotics can be used as a placebo to a certain extent, isn't it? Because if it doesn't do anything for the flu, yet you're given antibiotics for it, it's maybe a case of mind over matter as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's complex. But yeah, generally, we shouldn't be prescribing antibiotics when we know that it is a viral illness. Of course, often you're not quite sure. And then things like, patient requests can tend to tip the balance. But again, they probably shouldn't. If we're going just with evidence, there are a lot of situations where we probably do overprescribe antibiotics for various reasons.
Justin, for a layman, how much, and I'm trying to find the right way to describe this, but obviously we keep hearing that sooner or later the strongest antibiotics we've got will not be effective against the superbugs. How close are we getting, and how quickly are we coming out with new strains of antibiotic?
It is pretty scary because back, in the 1940s, 1950s, every once in a while, suddenly someone would discover a single bug that had become resistant. But now, over the last decade, the numbers are increasing. So it is something which is, the speed of increase itself is getting faster. So my concern, doctors are already concerned, and there have been cases of people in hospital dying from simple infections, which really no antibiotic the hospital could get hold of worked. And I think that unfortunately will become more common over the next, you know, 10 to 20 years. And there is a great concern that within 20 years, if things keep going as we are, there'll be, you know, that sort of scenario will be unfortunately fairly commonplace.
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And, you know, there's some things we can do about it now. I mean, part of it's intrinsic. Bacteria are good at resisting our efforts, but we can certainly change some practices now to try to slow that down and avoid it.
Justin, thanks for shining the spotlight on a very scary subject this morning, but it's one that had to be done, even so much so that antibiotic resistance was in the news no more than 40 minutes ago. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Todd.
2NURFM 103.7.